Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a mid bass from scratch in Ableton Live 12 for jungle, old school DNB, and rolling drum and bass vibes. This is not a sub bass lesson. This is the character layer, the attitude, the part that snarls, moves, and cuts through the breakbeats without stumping all over the low end. And that distinction matters a lot. In this style, the bass is usually doing two jobs. The sub gives you the weight down low, and the mid bass gives you the personality up top. So as we go through this, keep thinking about movement, grit, and space around the drums, not just loudness. We're going to use mostly stock Ableton devices, which is great, because you can recreate this anywhere without needing extra plugins. The goal is to make a bass that feels alive, flexible, and ready to be arranged like a proper DNB phrase. Let's start by creating a new MIDI track and loading a simple chain. A solid starting order is Wavetable, Saturator, Amp or Overdrive, Auto Filter, EQ8, Utility, and then Compressor or Glue Compressor. If you want, you can later turn this into an instrument rack and map a few key controls to macros. That's a very smart move for performance and automation. Now for the source tone, we need something harmonically rich. For jungle and old school DNB, a saw-based oscillator is a great place to begin because it gives us plenty of upper harmonics to distort and shape. In Wavetable, choose the basic shapes Wavetable on oscillator 1, and start with a saw, or maybe the square saw blend if you want a slightly hollower tone. Keep unison at 2 or 4 voices, but don't overdo the detune yet. We want movement, not instant wash. A little detune goes a long way. Around 5-12% is a good range to start with. If the bass feels inconsistent or too smeared, reduce phase randomness as well. We want the note to feel repeatable and tight, especially once the drums come in. Next, let's shape the envelope. This is where the bass starts behaving more like a phrase and less like a raw synth tone. For a rolling mid-bass, keep the attack very fast, basically 0-5 milliseconds. Decay can sit somewhere around 150-300 milliseconds, sustain can stay high, and release can be short to moderate. If you want something more stabby and old school, reduce sustain and shorten the decay a bit. If you want a more continuous rolling line, keep the sustain higher. A good jungle-style starting point is attack at 0, decay around 180 milliseconds, sustain somewhere in the 55-70% range, and release around 80 milliseconds. That gives you enough punch, but it still leaves room for the groove to breathe. And that's a big deal in DNB. Shorter notes often feel more punchy because the envelope resets more obviously. Longer notes can feel deeper and more fluid, especially when we start moving the filter or Wavetable position. Now let's create motion. This is where the sound starts to speak. Drop an auto filter after the synth and choose either a low pass 24 or a band pass filter, depending on the character you want. Start the cutoff somewhere around 500 Hz to 1.5 kHz, and add a bit of resonance, but not too much. Too much resonance can turn into a whistle and fight the snare and hats. A little resonance helps the bass speak. A lot of it can become annoying fast, so be musical with it. For the movement, use an LFO if you have it available inside Auto Filter, or map an LFO device to the cutoff. Triangle is a great safe shape to start with. Random smooth can sound really organic too, especially if you want that unpredictable old-school wobble. Try syncing the rate to musical values like 1/8, 1/16, or 1/4, and keep the depth subtle at first. On longer notes, slower movement often feels better. On repeated notes, a slightly faster modulation can create that animated rolling feel. This is one of those places where a small change makes a huge difference. Even a modest cutoff sweep can make a stack bass line suddenly feel like it's breathing with the drums. Now we make it dirty. Add saturator and start with a drive saying somewhere around +3 to +8 dB. Turn soft clip on so the peaks stay under control. Then use the output to compensate for the level jump. The point here is not just making it louder. It's about generating extra harmonics and density, so the bass feels more record-like, more physical, more live. If the tone feels too clean, push the drive a little more. If it starts getting fizzy, back it off and remember that EQ later can help shape the result. You can also experiment with the saturator curve, especially analog clip or a color mode that gives the tone more personality. After that, add amp or overdrive for another layer of aggression. If you use amp, think subtle breakup, not huge guitar distortion. Keep the gain low to moderate, shave a little bass if needed, and let the mids come forward. If you use overdrive, keep the drive around 20-40% and avoid making the upper mids painfully sharp. The sweet spot is rough and controlled, not harsh and ugly. A really useful teacher tip here is this. If the distortion starts sounding messy, Don't just reach for EQ after the fact. Often the better move is to clean up the source a little before the distortion stage. That way the distortion reacts more musically. A small EQ cut before distortion can make the whole character feel much more focused. Now let's clean the low end, because a mid-bass should not fight the sub or the kick. Use EQ 8 after the distortion stages and high pass it somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz if this is strictly a mid-bass layer. If the patch is muddy, dip around 200 to 400 Hz. If the top end gets harsh, tame the area between about 2.5 and 5 kHz. And if there's too much fizzy air, use a gentle shelf or high cut to smooth it out. This part is crucial. A lot of people accidentally give their mid-bass too much low end, and then the whole track turns muddy. Remember, this sound is for character, not for replacing the sub. Next up, width. But be careful here, because width is awesome in the mids and dangerous in the lows. The safest move is to keep the foundation mostly mono, and only widen what lives above the low end. Utility is your friend for this. If needed, keep the bass tight in mono at the bottom, and only introduce width after the high pass. If you want more width, you can also duplicate the track and slightly detune one copy, or use chorus ensemble very lightly. The important thing is to keep it subtle. Too much stereo spread too early can wreck mono compatibility, and weaken the punch of the bass line. In club music, especially this style, the low end needs to stay locked in. Now let's glue it together with compression. Use compressor or glue compressor lightly. Aim for a ratio around 2 to 4 to 1. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. And keep gain reduction modest, maybe 2 to 4 dB. You're not flattening the life out of it. You're just keeping it steady so it sits well under fast drums. If you want the bass to duck slightly out of the way of the kick, add sidechain compression, but keep it subtle. You want presence and movement, not an obvious pumping effect unless that's part of the style you're going for. Now, the sound design is in place, but this is where it becomes DNB instead of just a synth patch. The MIDI pattern matters just as much as the tone. A good jungle or old-school DNB line often uses short repeating cells, syncopated hits, and small pitch movements. Think of it like a conversation with the breakbeat. You can hit on the one, then on the end of one, then throw in offbeat notes or little pickups at the end of the bar. Call and response works really well too, with one note answering another in a higher register. For example, in a one-bar pattern, you might hit C2 on beat 1, C2 again on the end of 1, then move to Eb2 on beat 2, G2 on the end of 2, then back to C2, then D2, then Eb2, and finish with a quick pickup note into the next bar. That kind of rhythm gives you the forward motion and tension that makes jungle bass lines feel so alive. And here's a big coaching point. Don't design the bass in isolation. Soloing it is useful, sure, but the real test is how it locks against ghost snares, break accents, and kick placement. A bass that sounds huge on its own can still feel wrong in the full groove. Always listen with the drums. Now let's turn it into a proper performance with automation. Automate filter cutoff, wave eatable position, saturator drive, LFO rate, utility width, and even send levels to reverb or delay. You don't want the bass to sit there doing the exact same thing for 8 bars straight unless that's a deliberate choice. A really effective arrangement trick is to start the intro filtered and narrow, then slowly open the cutoff and increase drive as you approach the drop. Once the drop hits, go full bandwidth with tighter mono low end and more energy. In breakdown sections, close it back down and maybe add delay throws for a dubby jungle feel. This kind of section-to-section movement keeps the track alive. Let's add some atmosphere on a return track too. Create a send with echo and reverb, and place EQ8 after them if needed. For echo, try 1/8 or 3/16 note timing, feedback somewhere around 15-35%, and filter out both the low end and a bit of the top. Keep modulation light and use ducking if the echoes get in the way. For reverb, use a moderate decay, maybe 1 to 2.5 seconds, with a bit of pre-delay and a low cut to keep the mix clean. The key here is to send only selected notes or phrases. That way you get those classic dubby jungle swells without drowning the whole arrangement in wash. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make the mid-bass too sub-heavy. That's a fast path to a muddy mix. Second, don't distort everything blindly before cleaning it up. Third, don't make it too wide too early. And fourth, don't leave the filter static. Jungle and old school DNB need motion. Even a little cutoff automation can make the sound feel much more human and much more exciting. Also, don't overcompress. If you squash the life out of it, the groove can disappear. This style thrives on bounce and tension, not just constant density. If you want to level up even further, think in layers. The mid-bass is the attitude layer above the sub. Even if you only have one instrument, mentally separate those roles. Another strong move is to resample your bass once it's working. Freeze it, flatten it, or render it to audio, then chop and process it again. That kind of commitment often leads to heavier and more distinctive results. You can also add a tiny noise layer for attack, or create a parallel dirt chain by duplicating the bass and processing the copy aggressively, then blending it quietly underneath the clean core. That's often better than overcooking the main channel. For arrangement, try building contrast over 8-bar or 16-bar phrases. Make one section more sparse, another busier, and another more open or filtered. That call and response structure is a huge part of jungle energy. Let the drums breathe when they need to, and use bass fills or pickup notes to mark the ends of phrases.